This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's switch gears here and talk a little NBA Portland Trailblazers. Joining us now, you can find his work, RoseGardenReport.com, and the 2023 National Sports Media Association Oregon Sports Writer of the Year. I guess, well, tied. I mean, so give him half a Sports Writer of the Year. The great Sean Eichen joins us. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Are you a little bitter that you had to win the award with Demi Lawrence? I mean, You win Sports Writer of the Year, but you win half of it. It's like the old college football days. We had to split a national championship.
You get a whole trophy though, so I can't really be too mad at
you. Don't get like I thought it was like maybe like joint custody. You got it for 6 months. Demi gets it for 6 months. Something like that.
I'll have to talk to her about working that out if that actually is what it is. But no, it was cool to even be tied for something like that. That was fun.
No, that's cool. Like anytime you get your little bio said I never was seeking anything like that, but it's always good to be acknowledged, and especially when you kind of venture out and do your own thing. That's cool to be recognized by your peers like that. I hadn't talked to you since I saw that, so I just wanted to say congratulations.
I appreciate that.
Exit interviews. Were you as confused as I? Like, this year felt so weird. Right now, this organization feels so weird in that they say one thing, and yet, to me, it clearly feels like they're trying to achieve something else, and yet they continue to sell us on this idea that it is about winning and being competitive when clearly at every turn they've told me that that's not what this is about. Is this a case of mixed messaging, or is it just a must-lie situation, or do you think there's something else happening?
Well, I think it's pretty clear what's going on. You know, the head coach who has lost a lot of games in his 3 years in Portland, some, you know, this year by design, the last 2 years, not really by design, just by circumstance. He doesn't want to lose more games. He wants to go in and try to actually, you know, put some wins on his coaching resume and actually, you know, take a step forward. But, you know, Joe Cronin, I actually think Joe was pretty honest on Monday. That, you know, he said something to the effect of, we're not going to win at a high level until some of these young guys are ready, and didn't make it sound like that was going to happen right away. Like I didn't hear Joe coming out and saying, you know, we want to be back in the playoffs next year. We're ready to, you know, win now. A GM can't come out and say on the, I think must lie situation is kind of a good way of putting it. A GM isn't going to come out and say on the record, oh yeah, you know, we know that next year's draft class is the draft class that people are really going to be gearing towards. So, you know, we're going to be really bad next year again. We're going to try to lose games. A GM is never going to say that, but you know, I think Joe was pretty upfront that he doesn't view this as we just need to add one more piece and then we're, you know, back in the playoffs. So you understand it from his end, and then you understand it from Chauncey's end, where, you know, he's had to deal with whatever has been thrown at him by the injuries, the trades, Dame's trade request, whatever goes on. And he's trying to actually have some continuity and start winning some games. And that's his priority as a head coach. And, you know, you understand why that's his priority as a head coach, but you know, it's just an interesting dynamic that they're going to have to navigate.
Can that coexist? Cause this year's draft, you know, you've got some picks in a draft that most people are and don't really want to be involved in. Next year's is supposed to be, you know, this three or four true difference makers. This year you have what, third or fourth worst odds. You know, you're going to have a very high pick. Next year is the one you want. Can you navigate those things where you get growth and development from your young guys? You're more competitive. You're as what kind of what Chauncey wants, but next year is the year that you want to have a top three pick.
It is. And, you know, this whole idea of, you know, we're going to develop, you know, young guys, but also try to win. Like it's very, very, very rare that that actually works out. And when it does, it's like, it has to basically be, you know, you're San Antonio and you have Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Manu Ginobili still playing at a high level. And then you've got Kawhi Leonard coming in as a rookie or a second year guy. And he's, you know, the type of guy that, you know, it's pretty clear he's going to become the type of guy he's going to become. It has to be that level of talent. Even the Warriors with, you know, three Hall of Famers, they try to do the two timelines thing, and that hasn't really worked out for them the last couple of years. So that's not really a very compatible thing, and I think everybody kind of knows that. And I think the organization kind of knows, feels more like Chauncey's saying he wants to win, you know, win a lot more next year. I mean, that's him, but I didn't get the sense from Joe's exit interview that that's necessarily the view that he shares. I think he knows what the deal is and what they, you know, for the best interest of the organization, what they're going to have to do next year.
When you look through contending, because I when I look at this roster, I see a bunch of potential solid players. Like you look at Scoot, I think Scoot's going to be fine, but Scoot doesn't strike me as a star. Simons doesn't strike me as a star. Sharp, I guess you could say, maybe have that potential. Solid player. Ayton's is a nice center, but there's no stars. And I look around the league, Boston, New York, Milwaukee. You certainly look at Oklahoma City, Denver, Minnesota, Dallas, Phoenix. There's not one. There's two. So when you look at this, is this all a moot point until you find a top 15, at least one top 15, top 20-ish player? And is that guy on the roster, or is this one of those that the next two drafts are going to have to try to produce that, or we're just back to spinning our wheels?
You're absolutely right. That's pretty much the exact right way of putting it. They have to have the guy, and I don't know who the guy is. I don't know if it's anybody on this roster. I would probably agree with you that out of the guys that are currently on the roster, Shaedon Sharpe probably has the highest ceiling, but I don't think it's a sure thing that he becomes the guy. Like you look at some of, and I, you know, even besides some of like the obvious, you know, established, like, you know, the, like Denver with Jokic or, yeah, you know, Giannis or Embiid or whoever, or Luka, you look at some of these kind of up and coming teams that are now where, you know, Portland wants to be and were where they are now a few years ago. You know, Oklahoma City, who was just as bad as the Blazers are now a couple years ago, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's an MVP candidate. Yeah. Indiana, who's back in the playoffs for the first time in a few years, they made that trade with Sacramento and got Tyrese Haliburton. He's their guy now. Minnesota, you know, they got the number one pick in a weird draft that kind of nobody really knew what was going to come out of it. They clearly took the right guy with Anthony Edwards, and he's their guy now. The Blazers need their guy, whoever that guy may be, whether it's somebody that they get in this coming draft or whoever they get in next year's draft, or maybe Scooter Shaedon turns into that guy, or maybe, and this is, you know, in the case of both the Thunder and the Pacers, maybe they trade for the guy. Maybe you get that, whoever that is, I don't know who that might be, but, you know, maybe you try to kind of buy low on somebody who, you know, is young enough to, you know, be able to grow with these guys that you think has the potential to turn into that. Like they, however they end up getting the guy, they have to get the guy, or else this rebuild is kind of going to be stuck where it is now.
We're talking to Sean Hyken, RoseGardenReport.com. So going into the offseason, I mean, outside of the draft, which, you know, you swing and miss, or you swing and miss, or you swing and hit, we're hoping, like you said, you find the guy. What do you think this roster, some of the moves as we go into the offseason, you know, what happens to Jeremy Grant? What happens to Brogdon? Or does the roster kind of look somewhat similar but add some draft picks to it?
I don't think they can run this roster back, just both because of roster math. Right now they have 14 guys under contract for next year, and they're going to have two first-round picks. So that's already more guys than you're legally allowed to have on your roster. So they're going to have to do something. And then the other thing is that, this roster as it is right now, when you look at how much money, you know, Jeremy Grant is making, you look at how much money DeAndre Ayton is making, Anthony Simons, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, you go down kind of at the top end of the roster. They have guys making a lot of money. And this, like, as of right now, they're set. If they keep this exact roster, they are set to be in the luxury tax next year. And obviously it makes no sense to pay the luxury tax for a team that is several years out from even being back in the play-in, let alone being in the playoffs. So one way or another, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to make some changes to just to make the math make sense for this roster. And I think Malcolm Brogdon probably makes the most sense because he's going into the last year of his deal. And it's more important now than ever to figure out, you know, what you have with the three guards, the Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, and Anthony Simons, because Scoot's still a rookie. Scoot's going to be, you know, it's a few years before you have to make any decisions on Scoot, but Shaedon Sharpe and Anthony Simons are both going to be up for extensions after next season. You have to decide whether those are guys you want to commit to long-term. And having a guy like Malcolm Brogdon, who, you know, can help a lot of contenders and still is very valuable. And as much as, like, they liked what he brought this year as far as, you know, being a veteran in the locker room and, you know, a mentor and all that kind of stuff, and it was very successful in that way, he's still good enough that he needs to, you know, get real minutes, and you have to give those younger guys real minutes. So I think it makes the most sense out of the veterans to, you know, try to move on from him this off season. And I would expect that probably happens. Jeremy Grant's a little bit, you know, just like at the deadline, I don't think they were really that interested in moving him at the deadline, but, you know, this off season, maybe they decide to go a different way. I could see that one going either way, but they're going to have to do, the roster's going to have to look different next year, just from a math standpoint.
What do you make of, you know, whether it's Jeremy Grant, whether it's Ayton, whether it's Brogdon, like, this is not a great situation here. It's a bad team. It's going nowhere. And yet you hear from all these guys, some of them veterans, like Ryan Brogdon and Grant, talk about that they're just thrilled to be here. Like, you hear a great locker room, and, you know, this just isn't normally the case with veteran guys on bad teams in a city like Portland. What do we make of that? Why is that? Is it just that good of a group of guys? Is this a Chauncey thing? Is it an organizational thing? What is that situation?
Well, first of all, I think it is a really good group of guys. And I have to say, having, you know, covered this team all year, I haven't seen a lot of teams that are as bad as these guys are, that are, have this good of a locker room. Like, I can honestly say, you know, everybody got along. There was no drama. There was no, oh, this guy doesn't like that this guy is playing ahead of them, or, you know, this, you know, these two guys are, you know, in a clique and don't really talk to anybody. Like, you see a lot of that stuff, especially on bad teams, or like guys just are chasing their own stats. And I honestly did not see any of that at all with this group. And I think part of that is that, you know, the front office has done a good job of selecting for certain types of guys to bring in, and that's something that they valued. And that's why, honestly, that's why they wanted to keep Malcolm Brogdon and Jeremy Grant around, because those two guys are veterans that kind of set that precedent and that other people, you know, the younger guys on the team respect. And honestly, for as much flack as he gets for other things, I think you have to give a lot of that credit to Chauncey Billups, because he is, you know, because of who he was as a player and because of just kind of his demeanor and, you know, the way that he can connect with guys, he is somebody that people respond to and that people stay bought in with. And so I think those two things are, you know, as much as, you know, we're talking about how great of a culture a 21-win team has, you know, it's honestly, as someone who is around as much as anybody who isn't employed by the team, I saw it, and I don't think any of that stuff is blowing smoke.
Well, unfortunately for the fans, I get the feeling that next year is going to be a little bit of the same. You know, and that's a shame. The attendance this year was pretty good, but, you know, when you hear 70% viewership, you know, down in some shape or form, it's not good. This is the problem with rebuilds. Is this is technically year four when you consider the 2 years where they pulled the plug at the end of the year. And where you start losing year after year after year, for a lot of people, you just get out of sight, out of mind.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah, Yeah, no, I think the local TV ratings falling, I think that has more to do with the TV deal than anything, and how Root Sports, I mean, that's a whole other conversation. And I think that's something that I think they're looking at ways to kind of change that situation at some point this summer too. But yeah, that's why these next few years are going to be interesting, because I think, the next season is going to be record wise and, how much of a chance they have to make the playoffs wise, it's going to be very similar to what it was this year, and with kind of the selling point of it being that next year's draft class is like, there are some guys at the top of it that people say are it's a much stronger draft class than the one that you're going to see in a couple of months. But I think the thing you would hope for with the record next year being what it is that the guys that they're trying to develop and build around long term are just able to stay healthy longer, and you can actually see them play together. They're Blazers, this is a mind-blowing stat, and the kind of the thing that has been the takeaway from this past season. The Blazers' five most important players, which are Scoot Henderson, Shaedon Sharpe, Anfernee Simons, DeAndre Ayton, and Jeremy Grant, they played together. They were all healthy at the same time for four games this season, and one of those was opening night when Anfernee Simons tore his thumb and then missed the next 6 weeks. Like, after that, like, you just never got to see these guys together. So not only did they lose a lot of games, you can't even look at it and say, well, we saw 30 games of Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe playing together, and we feel good that this is our new backcourt of the future, because those guys barely played together because of one of them was injured, and then when they got healthy, the other one was injured. It was just one of those years where, like, I don't want to call it a lost season, but it was kind of a lost season.
That's kind of my thing, is I just feel like it was a bit of a waste, because, when you're going to lose, you would hope to see that development, and I don't think you can even say at this point who's really a cornerstone, right? Looking ahead, like, who do you build around? I think every one of those guys you put up there is a big old question mark. And I think that's the frustrating thing. But maybe next year, that becomes a little more clear, and you end up with another high pick, and we'll see what happens in this year's draft. But, Sean, appreciate you taking a couple minutes for us. Always find his stuff, rosegarden.com. Sports writer of the year for the state of Oregon. Does a great job covering the Blazers. Really appreciate it. And we'll catch up with you a little closer to the draft. And, hopefully we find the guy in this year's draft, and we don't have to have this conversation next year.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, there you go. Sean Eichen, again, read his stuff, rosegardenreport.com. We come back, touch on a couple things that he had there, and some NFL news and notes that we'll get to, and then in the news coming up next, primetime here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.